You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
We use the passage in Exodus 3 where Moses met with God at the burning bush. And we saw that Moses' close encounter with God not only changed him, but also had an impact on history as well. I finish with the following challenge, the challenge that we should have a desire and expectation to encounter God in our everyday circumstances and situations. And I just praise God for those testimonies. They encourage me, but they should encourage us that we can experience and have an encounter with God whenever we want. And it doesn't have to be in the case of illness or a need. It can be as we are just seeking His face and desiring to be in His presence. I also encourage you to recognize that God knows our past, our present, and our future. And again, you need to listen to the last time's sermon to understand that in regard to Moses. But we shouldn't let our past, we shouldn't let our present, or we shouldn't let our future circumstances stop us from being able to achieve and do what God wants to do. God knows us and He wants to encounter us. And then the last thing I challenged you with was that our personal encounters with God have the potential to not only change us, but the eternal destinies of those around us. And again, I think of Sam's testimony, and he said, hey, the great thing about what happens is the story I can tell to those who know I had a sore knee. You know, and I think of that, and I think that is just an amazing thought, that because of what God has done, and because He plays football, and He's got all these mates around Him who know that He had a bad knee, who weren't Christian, and then all of a sudden they see, instead of walking around with one of those things on his leg, he's now jumping and running and doing all the things that he used to do well ahead of time. What a great opportunity. And I praise God that Sam has the courage, the strength of his conviction, and the desire to not beat around the bush, but to tell them what God has done. And I honor Sam for that. I think that's great. So this morning I want to finish on encountering God by just unpacking those five excuses that Moses used. See, Moses allowed fear and doubts to come upon him. Not fear and doubts about having had an experience with God. He knew that the burning bush was there, and he knew that he had seen a miracle. It was more fear and doubts within himself that caused him to raise these excuses with God. And when I look at these five excuses, I see us, I see me. And today I want to challenge you that you don't allow excuses to stop you from achieving what God has got for you and what God has done in your life. Remember, Satan is always lurking. The Bible says he's always there, ready to steal, to kill, and destroy. Parable talks about when the word of God is sown, that immediately the enemy comes and he robs that word. And so often that's the case with us. God does something, and then we allow the enemy to drip in the doubts, the fears, the what ifs, that rob us from achieving and moving on with what God has got for us. When I reflect on the life of Moses, I see that Moses has got three aspects to his life. The first 40 years, Moses lived in a very powerful position. He was Pharaoh's adopted son. He would have had the best education. He would have had the best of everything. You know, and I just picture him as he was riding around on his horse looking at the kingdom. And everybody knew that he was Pharaoh's son. And we know that God saved him. We know that his mother nursed him. We know all about the bulrushes, etc., etc. This man was a chosen man of God for a specific purpose. But before God could allow that purpose to take place, we have another 40 years of experience. And I think that 40 years is a 40 years of being humbled, a 40 years of being brought to a place of knowing that he was nothing without God's input. So instead of being Pharaoh's adopted son and all the power and all the might and whatever I say happens, all of a sudden he's out in the backside of the desert feeding his father-in-law's sheep and looking after his sheep. And we know in the story that he was so humbled and became so insecure in who he was that he didn't even think he could speak. I'm sure he wouldn't have felt like that in the first 40 years. And then after this call, after this encounter, after God had beat him up a bit because of his excuses, he then became the deliverer of God's people. And again, we know that story. I don't believe that Moses could ever have been the deliverer of God's people if he hadn't have gone through his first or his second 40-year stint. But on the same token, he needed his first 40-year stint because he was given leadership skills and all of those other skills there. But when we use them in our own strength, it doesn't work. But when we humble ourselves and place them under God, they work in a mighty way. So at the time of his burning bush experience or close encounter with God, Moses was as low as he probably could have been in self-esteem. No more being the powerful son of Pharaoh, all he did all day was look after his father-in-law's sheep. So when he encountered God and was given his assignment, all he could think of was the reasons why he couldn't do it. In Exodus 3, 9 and 10, it says, "The Israelites' cry for help has come to me." This is God talking. "I've seen for myself how cruelly they're being treated by the Egyptians. Moses, it's time for you to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt." So this is God's desire for Moses. This is his job description. This is your next job. Now, Moses didn't think of quoting the positive scriptures like we would do. And for the smart ones, I'm quoting New Testament scriptures. Moses didn't have them. I know. Don't send me an email. Don't send me a text. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. So you don't have to worry about that. But these are the things that I would say. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He who has begun a good work in me will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I know all of you would have said those things. And you would have just jumped up and gone and delivered God's people because you knew that you could do it because God is with you. Unfortunately, Moses didn't know that. And he didn't quote those positive scriptures. In fact, Moses was so negative that he had these five quick excuses that just jumped out. But the interesting part, or the important part, is that God knew what Moses was going to say, and he had five quick answers, five good answers. So excuse number one: "Who am I? I'm only Graham Nelson. God, I left school at 15. Well, 14 and a half, God. In fact, God, I don't even know how to spell. I didn't go to school, didn't get educated. God, who am I?" Exodus 3:11 says, Moses answered God, "But why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Or in the New Living Testament, it says, "But Moses protested to God, 'Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?'" In other words, "I don't have what it takes to do the job." I can hear Moses having a little bit of a dialogue with God, reminding God that 40 years ago I tried to deliver some Israelites. Look how that turned out. I was a miserable failure. I blew it. I messed up. What makes you think that I could do it now? I wonder how many of us have felt exactly the same. We've tried something. We've launched out in faith. We've heard a great message. We've thought we've heard from God. We maybe have heard from God. And we've stepped out to do something and we've failed, or so we think. So much so that we never want to go anywhere near it again. My mother got her car license, came home and hopped in her father's car. He loved his car, my grandfather. My mother having just got her license put into reverse and backed it through the back garage wall. She never, ever, ever drove again because of fear, because of doubt, because of lack of confidence. Maybe you've stepped out in faith in some area and maybe it didn't work out the way you thought. Maybe you've tried being a life group leader before and nobody came. Or it just died a death. Maybe you've had a relationship or a career or a role of some sort that hasn't worked out the way you thought. Maybe you've gone bankrupt. Maybe you've, for some reason, lost it all. And those are the things that you are using right now as your excuse. And so, right now you have a ready excuse when God calls. In fact, you're no different to Moses. Why me? What makes you think that I can do it? Well, God's answer to you right now is exactly the same answer that he gave Moses. In Exodus 3, verse 12, God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. Or, whatever I've asked you to do is not dependent on your strength, your ability, your good looks, your leadership skills, your charisma, your platform abilities. In fact, it's got nothing to do with you. It's all about me, God, working through you. So, excuse number one, who do you think I am? Excuse number two, who are you? Who do you think you are, God? Exodus 3, 13 to 14, and Moses said, behold, when I come to the Israelites, notice it's come to the Israelites now, not to Pharaoh. So not only did he offside himself with Pharaoh, but when he tried to stop those Israelites from being damaged, they also stood against him. And so he's got the Israelites and Pharaoh against him back there. And so now, okay, well, you've answered the Pharaoh bit, God. But what about the Israelites? What about them when I go to them and tell you what you've said? And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. So he said, you say this to the Israelites, I am has sent you. This is one of those what if scenarios. Moses is doing exactly what most of us do when it comes to any area when he has to testify about God. How many times when you've sensed God telling you to share your faith with a neighbor, a family member, or a business associate, you have a ready-made excuse. I can't do that. What if they ask me a question that I can't answer? Moses says, what if they ask me what God sent me? I think the answer is the same. When it comes to sharing our faith, there are going to be questions. There are going to be things. There's going to be always something in our life that we don't have the answer. But God will help us to either say the things that we need to say. His word tells us that. He will put words into our mouth. Or we say, hey, I don't know. That's a great question. Let me go away and let me research it and I'll come back. Now, that's a great answer because that gives you another opportunity to share, another opportunity to talk. The basic excuse that Moses used, that we use, is I don't feel confident. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be ridiculed. It's all about self on the throne. So what was God's answer to this excuse? It was simple. Just share what you know. When they ask you the question, you don't have to give some incredible answer. You don't have to carry your concordance around with you. Just say, I am sent me. It'd be just like me saying, Dale, Pastor Oxley told me to tell you. I have to pick on Dale because I can see him over there and I know he can handle it. He's a big boy. You know, when I used to work as Pastor Oxley's administrator, there was a guy called Maurice Seymour. Now, Maurice Seymour was an incredible man. He was probably the most intelligent man I've ever met with such an incredible broad experience. He helped us get into this property. Yet he had a difficult nature. It's a nice way of saying it. And I remember one day he helped us a lot. He really did. And he would never take anything for helping. And for some reason, he had an incredible love for this place, a love for this property, a love for Pastor Oxley, a love for what we were doing. And this day, Pastor Oxley said, Graham, go down to the petrol place and get a 44-gallon drum of petrol, which you could do at those stage, and take it up to Maurie and give it to him as a Christmas present. And so I went with my trailer and put a 44-gallon drum of petrol on the back and took it up to Maurie's house. And he had a beautiful antique old property, and drove round the back and got to his shed, and I had the 44-gallon drum on there, and I needed him to help me get it off. And I said, oh, Maury, Pastor Oxley has sent this around to you. And he says, well, I don't want it. Take it back. That's the type of man he was. Take it back. Now, I had more fear for Pastor Oxley than I did for Maury. So I just said, sorry, can't do. Pastor Oxley told me. I am, sent me. And Maury smiled. He has a moustache and he gave me this little hair. Took it off with me and that was it. Thank goodness I could say, Pastor Oxley told me. The answer to the excuse is, we're not going in our name, but we're being obedient to God and we can use his name. The third excuse is, what if they don't believe me? Exodus 4 verse 1, but Moses processed it again and said, what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? This excuse is all about the fear of being mocked or ridiculed. You know, Alan or Sam or Melissa could have said what they said and somebody could have said to them, well, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. The truth of the matter is that we know it did. Why allow fear to rob us? So God, in his wisdom with this excuse, shows Moses a series of miracles. His staff turning into a snake, his hand getting leprosy, the river Nile turning into blood. What's the importance of these miracles? These miracles, these encounters with God, these incredible supernatural outworkings were there to remind God where his power would come from to be able to fulfill the task. When God speaks and you offer excuses like they won't believe me, then remember one simple truth. The greatest miracle you have to show the world is changed your life. It's your test me. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Every one of you that is a Christian in this building has a testimony. And your testimony is your testimony and nobody can take it away. And that is the power over the excuse. What if they don't believe me? Remember when the children of Israel crossed over Jordan into the promised land, they were told to take 12 stones, memorial stones, from the bed of the Jordan River. They were to take them and they were to build a memorial called Gilgal. That river flowed back over where they crossed over. There was no way of seeing the path. The memorial stones were the testimony of the great things that God had done. We have memorial stones. We have testimonies. We just need to remember them and start to acknowledge that they are our miracles They are our staff turning into a snake. They are our hand becoming leprous. They are our river Nile turning into blood. So that when God says, you'll come to the Red Sea and it will open up before you, you just know that you know that you know that it's going to happen because you've already experienced God's miracle working power. Now you might say, well, I don't have a miracle. You do. You have a testimony of your salvation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Fourth excuse. Well, okay, I don't have the gifts to do the job. Moses pleaded with the Lord and said in verse 10 of chapter 4, O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now. And even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words will get all tangled. You know, the scripture says of Paul that he was not eloquent in his speech. Yet God used him to testify in front of pharaohs and in front of rulers on the steps of the temple. If God can use Paul, if God can use me, he can use us. Moses, I'm not a good speaker, God. I'm clumsy with my words. Maybe you've used the excuse, well, I'm not very good with kids. Or I'm scared of teenagers. Or I couldn't be a life group leader because what if somebody smart came and they asked me a question? I love God's comeback in verse 11. And the Lord answered Moses and said, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? It is not I. Is it not I, the Lord, that does it? Again, if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know about you, but Aussies, we're unique. We love integrity. We love transparency. We love authenticity. I would guarantee you that you were in a room and you were a leader of a life group and you said, look, guys, I really don't know. That's just too highfalutin for me. Dale's used a big word again and I just don't even know how to say that word. I guarantee you that between yourselves, you'll be able to work it out with God's help. We just have to be available and ready and willing to step out as God would lead us. So, all of those who are happy now to be a life group leader, please stand. We need more life group leaders. You know, we have started 6 this year and they're full. We need more life group leaders. We want to see our church in life groups. Pete Harris needs more leaders down in Sunday school and on a Friday night. The other day we were talking, there was 160 kids down there the other Friday night, and he only has one other adult leader. Oh no, that's not true. That's 2 that I can count. 2 or 3. Maybe it's Sunday morning he doesn't have enough adult leaders. Whatever the case is, he needs adult leaders. People who are willing to get involved. You don't have to look after kids. You just have to be available and God will help you. God has gifted us for specific purposes and he'll not call us to failure, but he will call us to victory. Make yourself available. And then the last excuse number 5. Lord, send somebody else. Now I looked everywhere. I wish I could find it. I would have run out of time now. But I was looking for that poem, that ditto about somebody else doing it. You know the one? Probably don't know the one. I couldn't find it, so I can't tell you it. But it's always about somebody else will do it. Lord, send somebody else. Exodus 4:13, but Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send somebody else. This is the excuse when you run out of all excuses. This is, You've tried everything else, so you get down to the basic problem. You don't really want to. God, I don't want to do that. Well, when it's all said and done, what you're really doing is rejecting God's call. God's final answer in verse 14. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right. What about your brother? What about Aaron? He speaks well. God has got an answer for sending somebody else. I don't know about you. I meditated on this and I personally would not have pushed God that far. I wouldn't have been game to push God that far. When I had my encounter with God that brought me to a place of making God Lord of my life. See, I got saved in a Billy Graham crusade, and then there was a journey, a period of time where not much happened because our church didn't do follow-up and the busyness of life took over, and I went on my merry way. But then I went to a place called Mill Valley Ranch, and I was sitting there in a meeting, and I encountered God. I didn't encounter God in a sense of lights and bells and flashes. I encountered God in the faces of those that were there. They had peace. They had something in their lives that I didn't have, and I wanted it. And so I remember going to my bedroom, and I remember saying to God, God, I'm prepared to give up my MG car. I'm prepared to give up my block of land. I'm prepared to give up my dreams for being a millionaire at 25. I'm prepared to give up everything. And I would have been, by the way. I'm prepared to give up everything to have the peace that those guys have got. That day I encountered God. The next day I woke up and I met Chris. I fell over her. I fell in love. And we've been together ever since. And that's another story. But the issue is, that day I made a vow. Now, I didn't know about making vows at that time. And the vow was, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. There's been plenty of things that I've been asked to do by Pastor Oxy and others over the years that I've never felt that I could do. But the one thing I know is that if God asks me to do it, then he'll make it happen. And so I would never have pushed God that far as to say, send somebody else. Imagine getting to heaven and God rewinding the DVD or the video or whatever it's going to be up there then. And you see the plan he had for you. Now, for all of those who have got foreknowledge, predestination and all those things, just play with me. Don't come back at me, okay? And all of a sudden I see that the path that God had chosen was not the one that I chose. And that somebody else achieved what I could have achieved. But because I said, no, God, get somebody else, I didn't reach my full potential. That would be devastating. With God, I can do anything. If I can do anything, if I can stand here and speak today, then you can do whatever God wants for you. Truth is, I don't want to be a dried up, miserable old prune, useless and worthless because I didn't obey God. Because I made an excuse to the point that God used somebody else. God wants an encounter with you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to identify with you. He wants to share with you. He wants to speak with you. And it might not be a whiz-bang, burning bush experience. It might be that something that has been said in this room right now has touched you. That's an encounter with God. And out of that encounter, God wants you to avail yourself of the call that he has upon your life. You see somebody who's sick, why don't you say, can I pray for you? What stops you? What excuse have you got? Well, I know one. What if it doesn't work? That's God's business, not our business. We just have to be obedient. Today, a simple prayer of faith. Not a whole lot of excuses. God, I'm available. Use me. God, I love you. Andy, do you want to come? Today, let's step out as Joshua and Caleb did. Let's believe that with God, we can do all things.